On today's episode of See, Here's the Thing.
I like to refer to it as geektainment.
You are a celebrity impersonation mashup artist.
Luke Skywalker's kind of come out of the closet.
He's not a German. Actually, are you a German?
No. Nine.
Oh, boy.
Hasadiga Ibawai.
The Jedi and the Sith, the Jith.
What is this place?
Is this real life?
Welcome, Batman, to Arkham Asylum.
Well, this is episode 55. I will remember now as the Taint episode.
What if it came with a happy ending?
Episode 55 of See, Here's a Thing starts right about now. Another episode of See, Here's the Thing. I am one of your hosts, Kate, and I am yet again joined by my blushing co-host, Patrick.
I think I was blushing last week, wasn't I?
Nope, was not. You gave me a word last week.
Oh, see, I don't remember.
You called me
beautiful. All these shows run together.
Remember you called me beautiful?
I was drunk.
That slipped your mind?
Yes, I remember that exactly. Yes,
I said beautiful. You remember you even introduced the show last week?
Now I remember that, sure.
How soon we forget.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the end days.
All, what number are we with? 55?
55.
They all run together.
So how have you been?
Good. Fighting a little bit of a head cold and winning.
You're beating the head cold.
Yeah, I'm beating it. Beating like crazy.
What have you been taking?
Some allergy medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather not say.
Okay.
And because I'm making some oxycodone or something.
Whoa,
When you go to the pharmacy and you say you're going to buy like Allegra or Zyrtec, they make you give like your driver's license and they make you sign a waiver that you're not going to make crystal meth out of it. And
did you sign that waiver?
I put another name down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so what name was that?
It would be Emmanuel. Emmanuel
Garcia.
Emmanuel Garcia.
Emmanuel Garcia, our UPS guy, voiced by Michael Haas in episode 50-something.
Yeah. See, it all runs together.
All blend together.
Fantastic.
But you know what makes this episode different?
Tell me.
We have Nick Howell here. From
Nick
the
Howell?
Nick Howell.
Is
not
he a
Nick
German?
Howell. He's not a actually, are you a German?
No. Nine.
Oh, boy.
Nick Howell.
I mean, no.
Oh, I'm so glad you cleared that up. Now we've alienated all of our German friends.
Oh, good.
Great. Nick is from the Orbital Jigsaw Podcast Network. He also hosts two shows on the network, which he will tell you about in detail right now.
Thanks for having me on. I am Nick Howell. I host two shows over on the Orbital Jigsaw Network. One's called The Concession Stand. That's kind of our flagship show. I like to refer to it as geektainment, and it's everything to do with TV, movies, and video games. So we are two 40-year-old man-child men that still love playing video games and geeking out over movies, and we just have a lot of fun for an hour once a week. The other show is a little more niche, however you prefer to say that. It's called Busted Wide Open, and it's a podcast specifically focused on sports entertainment and the world of professional wrestling, so WWE, indie wrestling, things of that sort.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, I have a question for you. What exactly is the geek taint?
Oh, my God.
Geektainment, Patrick.
Oh, sorry. My earphones cut out, I think.
And at honestly, that is our word of the day.
Geektaint?
Taint.
I have to work in geek taint?
For bonus points.
You have to work out a geek taint? Well, this is episode 55, I will remember now, as the taint episode. Great way to start off.
There you go.
It's been tainted.
Oh.
He's already winning. He's already beating us.
Already? It's not the word of the podcast.
You know what, Nick? Yeah, that's not the word, but I'm going to give you a special little ding for that one. That's not sexual. It's just, there's a sound effect, Patrick, and it's a special sound effect.
Give you a ding.
Okay. It's even more valuable than Bitcoin.
That means nothing.
I know.
And I'll tell you right now that you have a velvety voice.
Oh, thank you.
You do. It's a very pleasant voice to listen to.
It's almost as if you do voiceover work.
Yeah, I actually do. So if you were to do a day job, that is currently my career path, if that's a career. That's what I do. Orbital Jigsaw Network gets a lot of my focus, especially recently, as we're trying to get that launched, bring some new shows on board. Been spending a lot of time revamping the website, orbitaljigsaw.com, so definitely check that out if you get a chance. But yeah, the voiceover stuff is a lot of fun. For me personally, I geek out doing crazy character voices like what you would see in animation or video games.
Oddly enough, Patrick enjoys doing impressions of.
I do impressions of famous people. He makes up characters on the spot. There's a big, huge difference.
There's not much difference in what you do. Your methods are very similar.
There's a huge difference there, Kate.
Yeah, but as we've stated, you start off with one celebrity and you end with a different celebrity.
It's a mashup. I'm talented.
That's what your description should be. You are a celebrity impersonation mashup artist.
Wow.
That's a great profile.
Is there an acronym for that?
Celebrity. I can't remember what I said. It was so long. Celebrity Impersonation Mashup Artist, a SEMA. A SEMA. Or KEMA, if you want to make it a hard C. That's not dirty. Don't take it dirty.
Too late.
Gentlemen.
Too late.
Woo!
Man, okay. We're 12 today. That's all right. It's okay if we're 12. Before we go any further down the maturity hole, again, please don't think into that. Oh, heavens to Betsy. Patrick, do you want to tell our guest and our listeners about our word of the day?
The word of the day is a word we try to sneak in, and our guest will try to sneak in as many times as he wants.
Slip in.
Try to slip it in. Try to...
Hey, now.
Try to get it in there whenever you can. So the word of the day for you to try to pump in there will be the word challenge.
Ooh.
Forms of the word are acceptable, such as challenging.
Oh, I know how you both are going to use this.
The challenger.
Oh, that's it. And not the ship. Well, I guess you could call it a vessel.
That's a story for another time.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so challenge is the word of the podcast.
I'm writing it down, which
that
never
means
helps.
Nothing.
But maybe today it'll help.
Okay, all right.
Today will be the difference.
Yep.
So we're happy to have Nick here. Again, if you have never heard, especially the Concession Stand podcast, it is a wonderful pop culture podcast. Nick runs a slick ship. Again, please don't look into that. I'm just trying to give compliments here, and your brains are already in one quadrant. It's great. I love tuning into it. He's a great producer, great host, great content. I highly recommend it. Let's get into some news clips of the week. First off, we cannot go a step further without at least mentioning the fact that Wonder Woman came out last night. We saw it. We loved it.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
And no spoilers, because Nick Howell has not seen it and is possibly going to see it tonight. So yes. We are not going to divulge any spoils, you know, like how they all die. We're not going to talk about any of that.
Nope.
Nope.
The fact that the woman is actually a man.
I know that you have seen it, and it's going to be quite challenging to get through this podcast without spoiling anything.
Yeah, he got it.
It's going to be.
He already got it.
Challenge. Oh,
he already
right.
got
See?
It.
See how good he is. All right.
I need to put that at the forefront of my mind just to get it out of the way.
Yeah, at least you caught it. I didn't even catch it.
Yeah, usually you catch it, and I'm like, when did he do it? Anyway. We will not spoil this, because I can't say how much we enjoyed this. It kicked butt in so many ways. What I will say is that Gal Gadot, who plays Wonder Woman, does not disappoint. She is amazing. Her acting is, at times, innocent. She's charming. She's fierce. And for the first probably half of the movie, I don't know if I moved out of the position. I usually get kind of antsy in movies, and I check my watch. I don't think I moved at all. Yeah. I think I was totally engrossed.
Yeah, I will.
That's
also,
always a good sign.
Oh, yeah. I will also say that this is by far the best DC movie that has been made.
Well, that was going to be my question. What was your, if you whittled down Batman versus Superman to the Wonder Woman bits, the Gal Gadot bits, especially the climactic ending that it had, which, how would you rate the two? Were you disappointed in BVS, especially her parts, and was pleasantly surprised with Wonder Woman?
My favorite part of BVS was her part. Yeah. So I was disappointed with BVS. I think back to when they first brought out Batman Begins, and I think about how different that film was. And then, you know, if you like The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, that's another thing. But I remember Batman Begins specifically because it was just such a different superhero film. It was so good. This feels like that. It had the same kind of presence to it that Batman Begins did. The music was wonderful. The pacing was really good. The script was clean. The performances were solid. My only critique, I think, and again, not spoiling anything, is that there might have been a character or two that you didn't really need.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not overcrowded.
Correct.
So that's good. If it was overcrowded and they had plenty of characters that they could have cut, that's another thing. But there was like one or two that you just kind of go, I'm not sure why he was in that film.
Or she.
Or she, not well, spoiling anything.
Well, when I saw Chris Pine get added to the cast, I guess about a year ago, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. That means that they need somebody to come in and do plot exposition and have the be the comic relief sidekick, which means she's not going to have a lot of lines, which means, oh, boy, bad stuff. But
well,
I'm anxious to see how it works out, considering all I'm hearing is great things about it.
Well, one of the major complaints about the DC movies was how dark and how unfunny they were. And it seems like somebody got the memo. It seems like somebody got the memo.
Finally keyed in. I mean, they had the Suicide Squad last summer that, again, we did not really enjoy. We wanted to enjoy it. We trailer-wise wanted to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It felt
the challenge with Suicide Squad was that they sold it to us as a Joker and Harley Quinn movie with a lot of other little side acts in the marketing campaigns. And what we got was the polar opposite of that.
Yes.
I think Joker, in the theatrical release, had a total of 12 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
And that was huge. We lauded, just tore that film apart last year on the concession stand. I know a ton of people that absolutely just hated that movie. And that was kind of the beginning of the end of the DC stuff, or that downhill slide, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I said to Patrick early on, I said, this feels like a Marvel film.
Yes.
This felt like a Marvel film. They even had an opening role right before the movie started, like Marvel does, where they feature some images of their characters. They must have revamped theirs because it was pretty slick. It got you kind of excited for the start of the film. And another thing that I'm always into and I really appreciate is the music. And I thought the music was right on pitch for this film. And the acting, I believed every single person. Whereas I think back to Suicide Squad, and we had several issues acting-wise with the commitment and the follow-through of some of the characters, and I didn't have that. That's like always the first thing I pick out.
Now, getting back to you said talk about the music. We wanted that right off the bat. We wanted that right off the bat, and they made you wait for it, and it paid off.
Big time.
Yeah, it paid off.
Something else that we'll talk about that is not a spoiler of the film, but it's actually a trailer that was before the film that we got really excited about.
Now, hang on, Nick. Are you a big fan of trailers before the film?
Big time. If you think about this, before we had the internets, that was one of the reasons people went to the movies.
That's
correct. To see what movies were coming out for that year or next few months or whatever.
Now, there's no guarantee that what we saw is what you will saw, will see. But I mean, would it be a spoiler if we talked about the trailers we saw?
No, because I live on the Apple Trailers app. I watch those as much as I watch movies. Especially, we have to talk about them on concession stand too. So. Which trailer are we referring to here?
We saw a few. We saw a few repeats. We saw some ones that were a little bit edited just to make them longer. But the one that was brand new and that we all kind of went, oh, what is this? It was The Murder on the Orient Express.
My name is Hercule Poirot, and I am probably the greatest detective in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
Oh, boy, was it slick. Yeah. Oh, boy, was it slick. I'm getting chills thinking about it right now.
Are they multiplying?
I mean, just the cast alone is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Then you throw Kenneth Branagh in there directing, and it is going to be absolutely fantastic. Patrick Doyle's music is going to be amazing.
Sweet.
So I couldn't be more excited about this. It looks amazing.
I was sitting next to somebody who is the kind of person that sees movies, but they don't always know the people's names behind them. So she kept asking me during this trailer, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? You literally do that like maybe 12 times because you've got Johnny Depp, Michelle Pfeiffer, Leslie Odom Jr., Josh Gad, Daisy Ridley, Penelope Cruz, who am I leaving out? Kenneth Branagh.
Audrey McDonald? No.
No, not Audrey McDonald. I thought I got them all.
Maybe you did.
And let's not forget it's the amazing literary work of Agatha Christie, who is a legend in her own right. So, and this story is legend. So I'm anxious to see what they do with it. If I'm not mistaken, there was they did make this film back in the 50s?
Yeah. Yes, it's a remake.
Mm-hmm.
Technically it's a remake, but I mean, it's gonna be a fresh look at this. It's a work of art, this book. So, I can't wait to see what they do with it. I'm very excited that Kenneth Branagh is involved. I'm a huge fan of him, so very excited. And not to mention Ridley Scott's production company is putting it all together.
Wow,
scot-free. So, it's got all the right elements: an amazing cast, amazing music, amazing director. It better be a 5-star film.
And on top of it all, Kenneth Branagh has an amazing mustache.
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty epic. You're going to see it if you see the movie this weekend. It's just the highlight of the entire trailer. It's the takeaway. That and when it opened up on the trailer, I turned to Patrick. I'm like, oh, it's a live action remake of the Polar Express.
All aboard!
No. There's Tom Hanks.
Well, there was the one bit where they walked through and they introduced everybody, and they had those kind of sideways text titles introducing you to each of the characters.
Yep.
I thought that was absolutely brilliant the way they just went down the train in a one shot like that. Really well put together.
I remember being a kid and my dad being a big fan of the original movie, and I remember seeing it when I was little, but I really don't have a lot of memory of the movie or the story. And what Kate said to me was, if the people know the story so well and know the movie so well, like how can you do this remake and keep it still in suspense as to who the murderer is or who was killed or anything?
It's like remaking West Side Story and not having Tony die. Right. Oh, crap. Spoiler alert.
Whoa.
I'm so sorry.
Damn it.
Romeo doesn't die. Let's go back and rechange. Let's change Shakespeare.
Shakespeare was wrong.
Yeah. But so. Super slick. I love, like what you said, the sideways titles just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It really made it neat. A memorable trailer. In the age of, let's just put all the action sequences that are of note into a trailer, get you really hyped up for a film that might not stand on its own two legs after the action's done. It kind of kept it simple, and I like that. Mm-hmm. So bravo.
It felt like a really well-done version of Clue, which is one of my favorite childhood movies. Clue on a train.
Uh-oh.
With all of this stuff. So
don't get me started.
I'm excited.
Flames. On the side of my face, heaving breaths, heaving. Oh my God, we've had Clue parties.
Yeah.
Throughout the years. Oh heck yeah, we've come as the
I'm
different.
Okay, I'm coming to Erie.
Okay, all right. We're gonna be a little busy probably Halloween this year after we get married.
Yeah.
So
well, not too busy.
We'll plan it before the wedding.
Yeah, well, sure.
In fact, let's just have them.
Which I hear you're getting married on my birthday, which is a very special treat.
Pretty close.
When we found out your birthday was near the 28th. We were like, we have to do this for Nick. Yeah, he's our next guest.
That's right.
We have to make episode 55 stand out. How are we going to do that?
Well, at first, I thought taint, but then no. But apparently, that's not good enough.
Well, I understand the challenges associated with moving your wedding date to a specific birthday, but I have to say thank you.
Listen
for
here. Listen here.
Towards my birthday.
Listen here. Don't you go showing off on us.
We are going to have to make, like, an image of some sort to say to people after the episode, like, thanks for being on. Here is your award. You can display it on your website if you want.
How many dings did you get?
You got 2 dings. I want to go to another trailer that I got wind of this week, and it's intriguing, to say the least.
All right.
So intriguing. Some fans of Harry Potter decided to explore the origin story of Voldemort.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Okay.
The fans? Not like...
No.
All right.
No. So, a group of people wanted to make a story.
What were their names?
Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Oh, wow. That seems a little odd.
Yeah.
All right.
And they wanted to make a movie about Voldemort's origin, his upbringing, and they were going forward with it, and apparently Warner Brothers issued a cease and desist letter.
Of course.
As they should. But then, somehow, recently, a trailer dropped of this fan-made movie, and now they're saying that Warner Brothers is letting them proceed because the movie will not make money. It's a non-profit movie.
What?
And I gotta tell you, the trailer is amazing. The trailer looks...
I have not heard about this.
It looks so legit. It looks... Some people have said it looks better than Fantastic Beasts did.
Who's funding
that
this?
That movie looked pretty amazing.
I don't know. All I have to say is that the trailer is called Voldemort, Origins of the Air. The story follows a witch named Grisha McLagan, who is the heir to Gryffindor and original character, who suspects trouble when Hepzibah Smith, a descendant of the Hufflepuff family, was found murdered. The case goes cold, but Lagan suspects that there's some sort of dark magic at play, and she believes that former Hogwarts student and future dark wizard Tom Marvolo Riddle is involved somehow.
Where do they get these names?
What
was her name? What was the two female?
Grisha McLagan.
McLagan.
And Hepzibah Smith.
Was that a nickname? Like she went to the bathroom and clogged up the toilet?
McLagan. Grisha McLagan.
So the first one I hadn't heard of, I'm pretty sure Hepzibah Smith and Tom Riddle are both in the books.
Correct. Yes.
The first one I don't remember specifically.
Hepzi Smith is in the books?
Hepzibah, I think is what her name is.
Hepzi. Yeah, no, she is. She owned Helga Hufflepuff's cup, and Salazar Slytherin's locket.
There you go.
Say that 10 times fast.
No, I can't. I just had a stroke saying it right now. But so like I said, they first had the order to stop, and now it's out, and they're proceeding, but I still don't understand legally how they can do this.
Yeah.
But the trailer is really freaking cool.
Well, I mean, you know, think about the challenges of trying to get money to produce a movie. And if you're just a fan, that's just crazy.
But don't you think, though, as a studio, you would say, no, you can't do this because we might be making it?
Write down the time, by the way.
Oh, did you do it? Gosh, darn it, you two. I do have to write this down because then I can't even find it when you say it when I edit these things.
All right, go on. Sorry.
I hate you all. Challenging working with men.
There it is.
Does that work?
No.
Oh. Yeah, Patrick has other rules about this word. Like, you can't say it within
you can't
30
just,
seconds.
You can't just throw it in for, you know, thanks for listening to the podcast. It was challenging.
Right.
Today it's going to be like, thanks for tuning in. See you next week. Bye. Challenging. Just there.
Anyway, go on. Keep going.
I don't even know what I was going to say. I'm so flabbergasted.
Sorry.
The interesting thing is there are a lot of people in L.A. that are here to chase the dream. I'm using air quotes. Whether that's acting or filmmaking or TV or writing, there's all sorts of different areas. And a lot of times while they're getting told no every time they approach somebody about a project they want to do, they go off and make their own side story or their own film of sorts. So I could see this being born out of one of those kinds of situations. You get a couple of hardcore Harry Potter fans and want to tell the story, the prequel origin story of Voldemort. I could certainly see that coming together that way. But why is Warner Brothers getting involved? It's unnecessary.
Well, they own it. I mean, I get that. It's their property. But my question for you, Nick, is I understand having a dream and going off and saying, no, this story needs to be made. But being able to fund it to the point where you're on par with the bigwigs, like the trailer looks like they've got some decent special effects. Like, how does a group of people get together and do that?
Or don't you think that J.K. Rowling would step forward and be like, "You can't make this plot. It challenges part of my actual canon."
Well, that's a separate question. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a separate question because I agree with that. I'm surprised she hasn't stepped up. But answer your question, Patrick, I mean, look at how cheap it is to buy software these days. All of this stuff is made in software. And green screens. There's no more. There's very little. I don't want to say no more.
Right.
There's very little actual special effects in the old world sense anymore. So if you can buy $200 or $300 piece of software, you can probably do what a lot of the pros are doing. Now you're not going to be Weta with these huge render farms of servers and stuff, but at the same time, anybody with a iMac and you know a couple pieces of software, Final Cut Pro and you know Motion and Compressor, anybody can put some of this stuff together.
All right, well that's fine, but then you still have to have a distribution. You still
that
get the
is
movie
the
out.
Key. That is the dark side of the industry that not many people understand, and that is a mess. So, I mean, if you're just going to make it to put it online, you don't have to worry about that.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
The other way to get it done is through that's what the festival system is for, the film festivals.
Right.
You submit it to those. You get into one of those. Basically, film festivals are a place to go and get distribution for your project.
Oh, interesting.
I'm sure for as much good press that they're getting this week, because it's all over the internet, I'm sure that there are people out there, though, that are livid that these fans are doing some sort of project that doesn't adhere to anything J.K. Rowling's written. Because you have those rabid fans out there that if you don't go with what she has said, it's not true.
And to be fair, you don't know if it follows the canon or not. It might be very true to it.
I would challenge our listeners to find where it actually would be written, this backstory, because I don't believe it is.
No, but my point is that as long as it follows chronologically and it doesn't blow away anything in the future movies.
But they've made original characters. Like, this is not true.
Well, it's not true. I mean,
that's a true story.
Unlike the other Harry Potters, which are very true.
Wikipedia said it was true, therefore. Yeah.
Well, the counter to this is if you look at something like Game of Thrones that is currently in its second to last season, then they're shooting all of that stuff now. The books haven't been written. However, George R. R. Martin is on there as an advisor telling them basically what he's going to write.
Right.
So that they get it right in the TV show.
They probably just hand him a magic
ball. They had J.K. Rowling on board to do this fan prequel thing telling the, you know, approving and helping write, I think that would be a different story. But yeah, I don't think the fans of Harry Potter in that series are going to be that upset about getting more Harry Potter content. Yeah. I think it's the people that, you know, are, stand to not make any money off of it are going to be the ones that are upset.
Yeah.
And don't forget, we got the Cursed Child this summer, which was not technically written by Rowling. It was written by Jack Thorne with an idea from Rowling. And I did not care for it.
Did I see that one?
It's a book, so no.
So good.
No.
Did I listen to it on tape?
Nope. You heard me talk about it.
With Nick Howell's voice?
Nope. Nope. But good news, it's coming to Broadway in 2018, so we can go see it. You like pictures.
Abracadabra.
It's not. Was that your...
Abracadabra. I'm just thinking of the songs.
Was that your musical stylings of the song Avada Kedavra?
I've seen one musical in my life, and it was The Book of Mormon.
That's a good one.
Good one to pick.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Hasadiga Ibawa. You know, that was probably my favorite part of the whole thing.
Listen, if you've seen that one, there's nothing that you can be offended with in the rest of musical theater.
Correct.
Oh, in life, basically.
Basically.
I laughed for 2 hours straight. My face hurt. I was laughing so hard.
That's a great musical. And that's a great song. I love that song.
Yeah.
Well, tell you what. We are going to take a small
but
break.
We haven't even talked about the movie, which we can't really talk
We're
about.
We're not. I mean, Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Well, we already did kind of talk about
all
it.
All right, all right.
Tell you what. Actually, gentlemen, would you like to play me out to break with your rendition of the Wonder Woman theme song?
Go ahead. Now we're gonna. It'll be a little on delay for your side, but I'll make sure it works on my side. So go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm going to say when we come back, and then you can start. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Tell you what. We're going to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the opening of Pandora, World of Avatar at Disney World, and I'm going to pay my two film score creators their money for this wonderful theme song. We'll be right back.
Hey, Kate.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guess who's here?
Who's here?
David Mitchell.
Wait, isn't that guy from Allen Act?
No, Allen Act. Hey, he's here to tell us about his schedule.
His schedule? Like what he does every day?
We want to know his BMs.
Oh, I have two. And I mean number two.
Dave's here to talk about his upcoming schedule for All in Act.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell us all about your spring schedule for All in Act Theater.
Our spring schedule has some really great stuff coming up. First of all, we are opening in April 28th through May with Ken Ludwig's fantastic, hilarious farce, Lend Me a Tenor, followed by our student production in June of William Shakespeare's classic Romeo and Juliet.
I hear that's a comedy.
I'm sure it has funny moments.
What else are you guys doing?
Oh, well, we're following that up in September, October with Sleuth, followed by The Crucible by Arthur Miller, and we're ending the year with Ray Cooney's hilarious farce, Tom, Dick, and Harry.
If anybody wanted to go find out more information about All in Act or the upcoming productions, where might they go?
Oh, you might go to www.allinact.net. Not Allen's Act, All in Act, allanact.net. All in Act Theater is located at 652 West 17th Street in Erie, Pennsylvania. A dollar of every admission is donated to Community Shelter Services and helps Erie's homeless. We are located at 652 West 17th Street, Erie, PA. You can also get us at allinact.net. To date, we have raised over $39,000 for Erie's homeless.
That's fantastic.
You can also find All in Act on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And they are also proud sponsors of See Here's a Thing.
Erie's best entertainment value. Theater lives here.
And we are back. We're sitting here, well, we're not really sitting here with Nick Howell from the Concession Stand podcast, but we're here over the internet.
Yeah, he's on the other side of the United States.
That's right.
Where actually am I right now?
Oh, you mean your voice? Where is your voice coming to?
Where is it coming from?
We are actually just bots. We're not real people, Nick.
What is this place?
Is this real life?
You
took the red pill. You're plugged back into the Matrix.
Oh,
damn it.
Yeah, right?
No, we're out of Erie, Pennsylvania.
He knows that.
Well, maybe the listeners don't.
God,
I knew that.
Spoiler alert.
I'm in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, California.
Yeah. I asked the question before we started if he was worried about falling off the edge of the earth.
No. I'm far enough inland. You know, I'm at least 10 to 12 miles from the ocean. So, you know, those guys that buy those cliffside mansions, like Robert Downey Jr.'s place in Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
That's actually a place in Malibu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So earthquake comes. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You're going off the edge. And there's a ton of those places out in Malibu and all the way up the shore to Santa Barbara. You know, if you buy a house on the side of a mountain and it rains a lot at one time, you have to know that there's a chance that your house is going to slide down that mountain.
Yep.
But when you have millions of dollars, who cares? You can just buy another one.
Yep. Right. Make another movie.
Exactly.
Put the suit on again.
Well, you know who is making another movie?
Tell me.
In a franchise he's been with for a long time?
Tell me.
That would be Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill? Never heard of him.
Mark Hamill. Different guy.
He does the best Joker voice ever.
Oh, totally.
Agreed. Totally. Patrick and I have loved playing all the Batman games on Xbox.
Yeah.
And primarily for his voice work on the Joker.
Nick, I can do
his version of that voice for about 10 seconds before my vocal cords just turn into shredded.
This is why episode
I don't know how he does that. But it is
55
amazing.
Is going to be and memorable.
Cue the voice.
Let's hear it.
Oh, God.
Do you want to take a shot first?
Well, no, I need to go out and like hotbox a cigarette or something.
Listen, we got time.
Welcome, Batman, to Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, it's that weird. He's doing the growl in his throat, but he's still doing the high pitch.
Yeah.
Kind of.
That was excellent.
Squeal to it.
I peed a little.
Woo. That was excellent.
Thank you.
Now do Harley Quinn.
Oh God.
Mr. J.
It's very similar to Patrick's.
Mine was better, but that's all right. That's all right. That's good.
I think
it's a bit of a New Yorker kind of Mr. J. New York upspeak a little bit.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
I think that was a combination of Harley Quinn and the nanny.
Yeah. Now do Rosie from the Jetsons.
Oh God, I heard you guys do this. I'm not old enough, and I didn't watch the Jetsons.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You are so full of crap.
Well, let's actually talk about Mark Hamill.
All right.
Getting back to him. We saw an article this week that said Mark Hamill was not pleased with Luke's journey in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's one of those articles that people just kind of throw out there to get fans talking about it. But the quote that we read said that he fundamentally disagreed with Luke's journey in this next film.
He was very vocal about this at Star Wars Celebration a couple months ago.
Do tell.
And it's one of those things where he appreciates the continued story of the canon and all of that stuff coming out. But when he first sat down and read the script for Last Jedi, he, like he says, fundamentally disagreed with the way that this story goes, without giving any spoilers away, of course. But yeah, going into this movie, I don't know how that makes me feel. I'm kind of excited to see that we might be taking it in a different direction than what we would expect. And at the same time, I'm going, yeah, but if does this mean Mark Hamill dies? I don't know.
Yeah.
I took it to mean not necessarily that he would die. I kind of thought that if from the trailer we've heard that like the Jedi's need to go away, if Luke has come to a point where he feels like the Jedi need to be no more, then maybe that's what he's talking about, is he doesn't like the fact that a person who was so gung-ho Jedi in the first three films now has become someone that's like, they need to not exist anymore. Maybe that's how I took it.
I have my theories.
What is your theory?
If you look at... I'm sorry, Patrick. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You finish yours, then I'll do mine.
Well, if you look at the nature of trilogies, if you look at the first three films, 4, 5, and 6, the second film, Empire Strikes Back, still my favorite Star Wars movie.
Yes.
Even the prequels, as lauded as those are, but there's a heel turn that happens in the second film each time.
Yes, correct.
And I think that's what's going to happen in Last Jedi, and then we get, you know, think of it in acts, Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. Act 3 is going to be this big, the faces come back, they win the day, everybody celebrates, whoop-de-doo, but we've got to have that evil happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is Luke disappearing off into Dagobah again or
Dagobah.
What happens, but I think this is going to be a Sith movie.
Yeah,
I think we're going to see a lot to do with the First Order. I think we're going to see a lot to do with evil duck stuff. And the next movie will be, you know, Episode 9, I guess is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Will be the Return of the Jedi of this trilogy. Will be the everybody comes back, everybody wins the day.
Well, here's what we won't learn from the next movie, according to the internet and all the articles we've read this week. We will not learn much about Snoke. Apparently, the director came out to say that we don't get a lot from his backstory in this next film.
And to keep with the canon, to keep with the other movies, you didn't see the Emperor in the second,
correct,
number 7.
Correct.
You did not see the Emperor. So that they were saying that that's going to kind of stay.
So along with that, a Japanese movie poster leaked. This is very interesting.
I do want to say my theory, because I think I've said it on here before.
I'm sorry, you have a theory.
I do have a theory. And I'm not a comic book person, but I've been told that in the comic book... First of all, Nick, are you a comic book? Do you know the comics?
I'm not, but I live vicariously through my co-host, Andy, who is a massive comics person.
All right, well
A walking Star Wars encyclopedia. So if he was here, he'd be able to do a lot better.
So I would love to know his opinion about this. From what I understand, there's the dark, there's the light, and there's the middle. And the comic book has a character that is neither good nor bad. And he's in the center. He's not good. He's not bad. And my theory is that's the position that Luke's going to take up.
Hmm. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So retiring the Jedi?
Correct.
Order,
perhaps
I guess
making
say?
A mashup. The Jedi and the Sith, the Jith.
No, I don't. That's not. No, I don't think that's it.
You don't like that?
That would be quite challenging.
How about
the Sedai? The Sedai? The Sedai.
The Sedai. Anyway, that's kind of, I mean, that kind of makes sense to me in the with the trailers when he talks about the light and the dark and, you know, keep looking. Because I think that's the middle ground.
Well, I think your theory ties well into this next little tidbit of information.
The poster?
The poster. There was a Japanese poster that was revealed that had, for some reason, a lot of words on it. You know, kind of... No. I know that sounds dumb. A poster with words on it. Confound
crazy.
It.
Crazy!
What are these people thinking? They can't read. They need pictures. Anyway, there was writing on it, and... That sounds stupid. But the writing translated to, "The most shocking truth in Star Wars history will soon be revealed. Be ready for the shocking truth surpassing the previous stories." So could that be that the Jedi and the Sith are done?
Oh.
What is the truth going to be, in your opinion?
Luke Skywalker is going to come out of the closet.
He's actually
in love with a robot.
There was a little bit of a tease where we weren't sure if the Last Jedi was singular or plural.
Correct.
And then the foreign, I think the Spanish trailer came out, or the Latin America trailer came out, and it said Los Últimos Jedi. And it was like, oh, it's plural. Okay, so it's the last of the Jedi. And then at Star Wars Celebration, Rian Johnson came out and said, nope, it's singular. It's the Last Jedi. It's Luke Skywalker. And it just kind of, we were like, okay, our head exploded. We didn't have any idea what to think now. Because, wait, is he he's the last one, literally?
So
well,
then,
what
that
about
means,
Daisy Ridley? Why is she swinging a lightsaber around?
That means Rey's not going to be a Jedi. Ooh,
ooh,
damn these people!
What's she gonna be? That's a Jif.
Maybe she's in the middle.
She's a Jif. Maybe she's in the middle, right?
A school of the Jif. Well, even in the trailer,
she's a
like
Jilf.
A Jilf.
She's Jilfin.
A Jedi. Ooh. I'd like to.
Whoa, easy.
You know, Jilf.
I know.
Okay. See Daisy Ridley.
She's pretty. I like her.
I do her.
Well, this is really helping my self-confidence. Thanks a lot. Some people have said that the big truth is her parentage.
See, I don't know.
But that could be the shocking thing. But what would be shocking? That her parents are C-3PO and R2-D2?
No, her father is...
That would be pretty shocking, actually.
Yeah, very shocking. But her father is actually Jabba.
Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, boy.
That would be very shocking.
It would be very shocking.
Although she has the same eyes.
I think there's a lot of speculation out there that she is Kylo Ren's brother. There was speculation as well. You know, we know that Kylo Ren is Han and Leia's son from the last movie.
Right.
But there's also speculation that Daisy Ridley or Rey is also their kid. And there's some things at the end of Force Awakens.
Oh, sure.
Where some interactions with her and Leia, where you're stroking your beard, going,
mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of fan lore theory out there around that stuff that could play really interesting, especially in a Rey versus Kylo Ren scenario. Again, I think this is going to be exposed a lot more in this next film. So, yeah, I could talk for an hour, especially if I had Andy here with me we could talk Star Wars all day.
We'll have a Star Wars episode. We'll have you both back on.
Okay.
That sounds fine to me.
Yeah, except I've said everything.
We did do a full hour show on Rogue One around January, back when that came out around Christmas.
I'll have to listen to that.
If you guys want to go check out the concession stand, Rogue One.
Yeah, because basically I've said everything that I know and think. So
he's out.
Pretty much done.
We're done. Okay. Well, you know what you're not done talking about?
Something challenging, I hope.
Oh, there it is again.
Go on.
No, not so challenging as just plain fun.
Okay.
Doesn't the world need just plain fun nowadays?
Oh, boy.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
And long wait times?
Yes.
At a park?
I don't do lines. I pay all the monies in the world to avoid the lines. The fast passes, all that stuff.
The fast passes.
Because, of course, we're about to talk about the opening of Pandora World of Avatar at Disney World. Pandora World of Avatar opened last weekend on Saturday, and it opened to crowds that caused wait times of over 4 hours.
I understand. The amount of geek taint was amazing.
It was ripe for the picking. So apparently the park, Animal Kingdom, if you've been living under a rock or you just don't care about Disney World, they have now opened a part of their park which is dedicated to the Avatar movies because there are going to be more of them. Yes, the movie was out back in 2010, 2009, but there are going to be more films. So to, you know, make some more money because Disney World is not doing so well.
No, they need money.
That little tiny park. They opened this new section of the park, and with it came basically two brand new rides, along with some other restaurants and environmental type things that people can look at. But the two rides are what everybody's talking about. There is one called the Flight of Passage, and there's one called the Navi River Journey. Flight of Passage is the one that had the 4 hour wait time, and for very good reasons.
4 hours.
250 minutes.
So how much do you pay for a day pass?
Ooh, it's something like 70 to 80 for not Magic Kingdom.
So $70. We'll go low. We'll go low. $70 to stand in line for 4 hours.
Yeah, well, that's your choice, number one. So people were queuing up for this at 7 a.m. before the park even opened.
Sure.
And now if you can imagine this, the World of Pandora is a part of Animal Kingdom. People were queued around the park to get into that section of the park. So they had to wait to actually be physically allowed in because they were at capacity, which is why there were humongous wait times. But for good reason, because the early tourists that have been there have said this new ride is beyond anything they've ever experienced. And it sounds like it's, if you've been to Disney World and you've been on Soaring, it sounds like it's Soaring on steroids.
Yeah, cool.
Basically.
Now, Nick, are you a Disney fan? Okay. That sounds like there's
Mom
a story there.
Mom taught me at a very early age that if you don't have anything nice to say, that you don't say anything at all.
Well, so Mama's not here, so spill it.
Did you have some sort of
Regarding standing in line for 4 hours? That's where I'm going to not say unnice things. But as far as Disney goes, I had never been in my entire life. I went to Disney World as a teenager in high school for an event thing as a high school function. That was fun. I got to ride Splash Mountain.
Cool.
Yay.
Cool.
Coming to California, I never went to, I've lived out here since 2006. So, I mean, you know, 12 years now, and had never been to Disneyland until last year. My parents decided to come visit, and they also said, hey, we've never been to Disneyland either. Hey, why don't we all go do that together? That sounds awesome. It was the better part of $500-$600 for the three of us.
Wow.
If you include food and all of that kind of stuff and the incidentals and the parking and all, I mean, you're looking at a $600-$700 day for three people.
Wow.
And I gotta say, I didn't have that much fun.
I
didn't, even with all the Star Wars stuff. They converted Space Mountain into Star Wars
Hyperspace
indoor dark roller coaster thing.
Yeah.
That was cool. But, yeah, I mean, the best part of the whole day was the parade at the end of the day at night with all the characters that come out and the lights and all that stuff. The fireworks display over the Magic Castle was beautiful.
Yeah.
But as far as the park goes, yeah, I could live the rest of my life and never go again.
Yeah, I get it.
Fine with that.
I feel
that.
Like I could help you. I feel like I could convert you because you got to do it right. I can open your eyes.
Oh, that's right.
Take you wonder by. No, I feel like you have to be with the right people when you go to these parks to really experience the right experience. Now, luckily for me, the first time I went was with someone that has been to Disney World probably 10 times plus. So they knew exactly which rides to go on, which rides to avoid, which restaurants to book, which shows to attend. And so everything we did was the best experiences that we possibly could pick.
Since, well, sure, you had a VIP tour guide.
Yeah, no, we just had someone that's obsessed with Disney.
Okay.
And has
those,
been,
those exist out here too. Everybody buys absolutely. Their season passes every year and they go twice a week.
Right, right. And we were there for like a week. So we had our downtime. We had our times where we were super busy. So it was a nice blend of everything. And since then, I've become obsessed with how to plan a proper trip because, like I said, it's all about the choice. It's all about your timing. And I want to work with you, Nick. I want to bring you back to the park. I want to bring the magic back.
Don't push it. Don't push it.
If they were to introduce a new Aliens theme ride or something like that, you'd get my attention. But I, what are they doing now?
Well, you're getting the Guardians of the Galaxy
Guardians
ride.
Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Yeah, the Avengers or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting a Mission Breakout. It's in the old Tower of Terror.
Yep.
Yeah. That's okay. You know what? I'm okay with that, Nick. I'm okay with
that. I'm not. I feel bad.
No. No, we need people in this world like Nick so the park isn't so stinking crowded.
That's true. But he's in California.
Yeah, still. Someday I may get out there.
Six Flags or Magic Mountain, and I'll ride roller coasters with you until I can't see anymore.
Yeah.
That's my jam.
I will say, just to offer this, because I feel like I could be a little bit of a hypocrite. When we went to Universal the day after Disney on one of our trips in the past 2 years.
Universal Orlando or Hollywood?
Universal Orlando. I will say hands down, their rides beat Disney World.
They're thrill rides. Disney does not have thrill rides.
But if you compare a ride, let's say that's in the middle, like Harry Potter. The Harry Potter rides are not really thrill rides, but they're not boring rides. Hmm. Their quality is amazing. Mm-hmm. When you think about what Disney can do, they need to kind of up their game with the rides, honestly, in my opinion. Yeah. Their experience
is
wonderful.
The best thing Universal does every year is Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, I've heard that.
We've heard.
Now, you are...
I fortunately live about 10 minutes away from Universal Studios Hollywood. It's literally down the street. And we go every year religiously.
I've heard nothing but praise for those nights. We have a friend who has a season pass and can't stop talking about how awesome those horror nights are.
Horror.
Now, I was just going to ask if you're near the Hollywood one, because a Harry Potter castle show is opening soon, which, very sad.
I went last fall.
Oh. And was the light show wasn't on then, was it?
What was?
There's a Harry Potter castle show that's going to be opening June 23rd.
No, that wasn't there yet. So they've got the castle is amazing to look
sure,
up at, by the
yeah.
way. It's some feat of engineering that I don't know how they pulled off. The rest of it, they make it look a lot bigger than it really is. You walk through the front gate. First of all, you have to pay over $100. You got to buy a day pass to walk in the door. It's like $105. If you got two people, you're already out $200 before you walk in the door. Mm-hmm. Bear in mind. The rides that they have are two small roller coasters that are geared towards, I would say, adolescents or preteens. They're not very aggressive at all. And it's supposed to be the Griffin ride and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but the fun part comes in when you walk into the wand shop and the interaction with the, what do you call them? The guys that are selling you stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're all in full costume.
They're in character.
They're doing voices in character. They're doing through the whole wand selection process. That is something, especially for kids. It's amazing to watch. Mm-hmm. For a 40-year-old grown man, it's like, whatever. Fine. But so forgive me for being the old curmudgeon, get off my lawn, but it's the, that's kind of my attitude towards it. Was it worth $200 for the two of us to go and see that? Not really.
Yeah. I get it.
But that's okay.
I get it.
I would gladly pay it year after year.
Yeah.
Well, and also I was way more in camp Harry Potter than I was, I think, in Disney in terms of my years 14 to 18. So seeing the Hogwarts castle made me cry. Seeing the Disney castle, I did not cry. I was happy.
Yeah, you would be in tears walking up to that castle. It is absolutely breathtaking to see what they built. They actually built Hogwarts up on a mountainside, and it's fantastic.
We've been to the one in Orlando.
Shrek, part of the park used to be.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, the same thing is in Orlando. There's a definite Shrek ride, which is so dated.
No, but he's saying that took place of the Shrek ride.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they tore all of that Shrek stuff down to put the Harry Potter stuff. It took them like 5 years to build all that.
Yeah.
The one in Orlando has all that, and it also has Diagon Alley, which if you're impressed with the castle, you will be bowled over by Diagon Alley. Because you are immersed the minute you step foot into that place, and they've crafted it so that I couldn't even tell I was in a theme park anymore. I was like, I'm in Diagon Alley. Of course I am. And of course I will buy all of your stuff. Take my money now.
Give us all your dirty money.
Yes, okay, absolutely. Sure. So anyway, back to Disney. Back to Pandora. We talked a little bit about the Flight of Passage, about the wait times, but it's getting stellar reviews. People are just blown away by the quality of the ride and the queue line. The Navi River Journey is not as popular, but the animatronics are getting high praise. They're saying that they're the most lifelike animatronics they've ever seen.
Cool.
And by they, I mean people I've never met. So I trust
you
them
know, it
implicitly.
Could be the most amazing ride in the world. There could it could come with all kinds of perks along for it, but I'm still not waiting for 4 hours.
What if it came with a happy?
I don't know what goes through somebody's head that makes that worth it.
What if it came with a happy ending?
Well, I was gonna go there, but then I didn't go there. But now that you've gone there, I'll go with you.
Go
so
ahead.
Yes, if it came with an HJ or something like that while you're on the ride, you know.
A Navi.
I still don't know that I would wait in line for 4 hours.
A Navi HJ?
Oh, boy. They have bigger hands.
I know. You'd be like a dwarf.
Right.
I don't think that'd be pleasant for anybody. Unless you could have an avatar that got the
Ooh.
Happy ending.
Now you're talking.
Wait a
now
minute.
You've got my attention. Now, if I could somehow get into some kind of bio suit thing where you lay down in the bed and you brain link with an actual avatar and I can run around the park as a Navi, now you've got my attention.
Yeah. All right. Now he's back.
We got him back on track. Mark my words, we'll get him to come to Disney World with the promise of that. And then...
Whoa, wait a minute.
No, the promise of running around the park as
all
an
right,
avatar.
Okay, all
oh,
right.
You mean running around the park, not the HD. Okay.
Oh, We're doing it live.
We're doing it.
No, but it's been too long.
This is
since
the challenge with doing things live.
It's always an adventure.
It is.
I don't even talk about how I'm holding the microphone right now. I just happened to grab my mic. And
anyway.
Because your mind is dirty, you went there.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Anyway.
Anyway. So we are going to Disney in 9 days.
9 days.
So we will be able to see what the hubbub is all about.
We will
Luckily,
report.
We have a fast pass for the flight ride. Yeah. Very happy we got that. We'll have to wait in line for 4 hours. I would pay all the money. I'm totally smitten with Disney. I am.
Yeah, you are.
I'm assuming you'll have pictures posted everywhere
oh,
about the trip.
Video and pictures and everything.
I will not.
Try not to see the park through your phone, though.
Yeah. No. Awesome. Oh, no. I'm very good about that. But I do like to take pictures just because I love to remember stuff like that. And
yeah.
Absolutely.
And they won't be pictures of food.
No, don't worry. Yeah. I don't take... Well, unless they're really cool looking.
No.
Okay.
No, no pictures of food.
Just one?
No, no what pictures
if,
of food.
What if there's something cool in Avatar Land?
No, no pictures of food.
Not even the Pongu Pongu drink? Please?
No, no.
No pictures of Patrick getting an HJ on the Avatar Land.
Oh, please. If that's happening, I'm taking photos.
It's happening now. I mean, I'm not doing it. I'm taking the picture, though, for you, Nick.
Hey,
and you'll know what we mean.
There's kids around, okay?
They can have...
You could be permanently labeled a sex offender.
That's
don't
right.
do that.
That's right.
See, already don't you think that it's a happier place from this conversation?
Oh. Whoa. Okay.
Talk about a fast pass.
All right. All right.
Talk about extra magic.
Okay. Cut you off.
You two started this. This one I've been trying to get in the past few episodes, and I feel like it has a proper place in episode 55.
All right.
This is our happy ending. There is a student out there in the world that is getting a scholarship to college to play video games. I didn't say to create
yes.
them, because that exists. No, he's getting a scholarship to play a video game in college. Nick, I think you know a little bit about this video game he's playing. Tell us what you know.
Well, let's, without name it, the game itself is called League of Legends, and it's a specific type of game known as a MOBA, and... This is not something that's new. As new as this is to a lot of people, this has been going on for a long time, where at the collegiate level especially, kids will play in tournaments for scholarship money to be able to go to school. Blizzard recently did one with their game. It's much like League of Legends, called Heroes of the Storm. It's the same exact kind of game, just with different characters. And they had a tournament called Heroes of the Dorm that went around to all of the different major universities and did a ladder system, almost like a March Madness bracket.
Yeah.
And the winner got a full-ride four-year scholarship paid for by Blizzard. So the idea of doing this for college tuition is fantastic because kids are going to play games. They're already playing these games, especially if they're at this level where they could win tournaments to get their tuition, right? They're already been playing. So why not enable them to help saddle $100,000 worth of debt by doing something that they already love? This is known as something, a phenomenon called esports.
Yes.
And I think you're going to see this become more and more prevalent over the next 5 to 10 years. You're going to start seeing it on TV. Right now, it's a little bit of an underground thing that you have to know the right pages to follow on Facebook and the YouTube channels to subscribe to. But ESPN has started covering these lightly, and I think you're going to see it more and more as we move into this kind of modern digital age that we're in currently. You're going to see this become a legitimate sport where essentially people are controlling avatars is what it comes down to, with a mouse and keyboard, and having these brawls and fights with these, you know, magical things. So that's esports.
So League of Legends, just to go a little bit more into it, is a game that pits two teams of five players against each other in an online battle arena where the goal is to destroy the other team's base. Each player controls his or her own fantasy-type character, called a champion, with its own set of attacks, abilities, and roles. So given that information, Patrick, if you had your own character in this game with its own set of attacks, abilities, and roles, what would your character be like?
I think I would probably go with the PETA character that would find a nice rock and try to put makeup on and blend into it and just sit.
So your expertise would be camouflage.
Camouflage, sure.
Okay.
Just so I can find a place, a nice little place to rest.
So what is your role for the rest of the team, though?
I'm not in the way.
You just get out of the way.
I'm just out of the way. And when everyone else dies and like, oh, team, wait a minute. It says on the screen, there's one person left. There's no one out there. Who is it? And then the other players have to run around like crazy, like killing all the rocks, trying to find the rock that I'm sleeping under.
So your strategy is just to be the last person standing.
Yeah, that's
or sitting under a rock.
And sleeping, yes.
So like do you like achieve, like your highest level is moss?
That's your special ability.
That's right. If I can grow moss on like my body, that would be fantastic.
Tree form.
What is your most feared attack?
A big smelly gentleman that has geek taint sitting on me.
Excellent.
I don't want geek taint on me. Ooh.
So, but what is the actual
poop flinging?
Poop flinging.
I'm a poop flinger.
Got it. So, Nick, I ask you the same question. If you had to be a character in this game, what would your abilities and roles be?
I'm going to geek the hell out and just... I'm a fan of magic stuff, so a wizard. I want to shoot lightning and, you know, mage, arcane magic at people.
You strike me as a D&D guy back in your days. Were you?
Not so much.
Really?
Nintendo was probably my first experience sitting... Maybe the arcade games, stand-up arcade games in the mall. But mm-hmm. No, my first where I really got into it was when I got my Nintendo in 86, whenever that was.
Okay. All right, so keep going with this character. So you fling lightning and stuff.
Yeah. You fling poo, I fling arcane and lightning, and that's kind of it. What's my special ability?
Yeah.
I can go invisible.
No.
So can Patrick, kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
He hides under things.
I'm just lazy.
My next question, though, is what defeats what? Does poo defeat lightning, or does lightning defeat poo?
I think poo might shun my lightning bolts.
Let's see. Lizard somehow. Kills rock. Oh, I don't know.
Klingon kills.
Is that a reference to rock, paper, lizard?
Spock. Of course it is.
Yes, it is. All right, Miss Kate.
Well, I think it's clear. I mean, I have a history with this character.
Oh, here we go.
I'm the decorker.
Okay.
I will run behind enemy lines and deplete their resources of beer and wine.
If it has a cork in it.
Well, I guess just wine then, okay, if you want to be specific. All I can level up.
So if you go and go to attack and you find that they're all screw tops, are you just screwed?
I have a sneer, like, oh my god, you bought screw tops. Like, you're that kind of person. But some screw tops are all right. So no, I think after the initial disgust factor, it's like if you get like hit in a video game, you have to wait a few seconds to get your full strength back. Mm-hmm. That's what it would be. It would offend me so much that they have screw tops, uh-huh, then I'd get the job done.
Uh-huh. And what would be your goal? What would be your major goal? What would you want to accomplish in this game?
I just want to be shwasted in this game. I'd be behind enemy lines. I'd be that drunk girl at the party on the bed.
That no one wants to talk to.
Yeah, no, right.
It's the side effect. Like when you run out of stamina, you get exhausted and you can't run, right?
I'm more of a distraction to the other team as well.
Woo, right. Party!
Yeah. Then the drunker I get, the more distracting I am. That would be me. So you're under
Watch
a rock.
Watch me do this keg stand. That kind of,
you're that girl, right, Kate?
Well, I haven't done a keg stand.
Actually,
ever.
Would one of your powers be your power of woo?
Oh, that's so annoying.
Woo!
I think woo girls are so annoying, but yes. I think that's like max level, woo! Like level 20 woo girl. But yeah, I you're going to hide under a rock.
Yeah.
Nick's got the lightning handled, and mm-hmm, I'm just going to be the distraction.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Do our powers ever combine? Like, can we do combination attacks?
One determined powers activate.
Form of... Oh, see, Nick. Oh.
That was Patrick's happy ending just now.
Right there.
I felt that. Was that a double release?
No!
He knows
it!
He knows double release.
So cool. Yay. I feel like I could combine with you. Like, I could bring back the wine and just join you under the rock.
If you can find me. That's the trick, because I'm asleep.
Sneaky.
I'm asleep. And, of course, Nick's invisible, like, doing whatever he does with his lightning bolts.
Nick's not even playing the game anymore.
Hey, now.
He left. He went back to Disney.
No, he did not.
No, he's invisible. He doesn't need to pay a gate pass. He's fine.
No lines.
Even if they let me in free, I probably wouldn't go.
He's in line for the Avatar for the free releases.
Oh, jeez. Well, gosh, guys, this has been a ton of fun.
Yeah.
So many happy endings in this one. Double releases.
HJs and double releases
and
for
taints.
Everyone.
So many taints.
Do I have to put an explicit warning on this one? We haven't really sworn.
No. A couple words here and there.
No.
And I had said the word. I used initials. So it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're okay.
That's fine. Just, yeah. You know.
It's totally clean.
But let's face it. Fourth graders know what these things mean nowadays.
Of course.
There you go.
I think I might have snuck in an F-bomb at the beginning.
Did you? It's so common to us now.
It doesn't matter.
It's just vernacular.
Matter. Well, we heard from you in the beginning, Nick, about what you do and your podcast and stuff, but remind our listeners one more time where they can find you and what you're all about.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm Nick Howell. I run Orbital Jigsaw Productions, and you can find us over at orbitaljigsaw.com. On Twitter at Orbital Jigsaw and Facebook at Orbital Jigsaw.
Awesome. It's been so much fun having you. This has been something I've been looking forward to for about a month now, having found Nick. I think it was on the podcast we listened to, Paige.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we hooked up. Nope, that sounded bad. We linked up.
Oh, nope.
LinkedIn.
Nope.
No.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
This is awkward.
Anyway.
I'll just leave the room. It's fine.
It's been a blast talking to you. I'm being very careful now. It's been so much fun having you here. And listeners, this is episode 55. We have a bunch of other episodes available on Podomatic and any other, really, podcast distributor you can find us on. We're also at seeheresthething.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter at seeheresatweet, Instagram, Google, any other social media account. So if you like what you heard, you can send us an email, either Kate or Patrick at See Here's the Thing, or you can even leave us a voicemail on our webpage. It's called a speak pipe. If you have some thoughts on future episodes or some thoughts on this episode, we would love to hear from you. So without further ado, I will bid you a fond farewell, and we will see you next week on See Here's the Thing.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
See Here's the Thing is brought to you by All in Act Theater, Grise Audiovisual, and our Patreon sponsors, TJ, Megan, and Judy.